your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. We're going to start the program out with some comments from my co-host, Charlotte Littlefield. And she's got some very, very interesting things to say about the election problems and fraud and stuff that we've been experiencing. So here, and then we're going to follow her with Sidney Powell. And Sidney Powell talks about a criminal organization that is killing people and had a lot to do with Georgia, some of those deaths. But anyway, this is Charlotte Littlefield with brief comments about this election fraud and so forth. Here we go now with Charlotte Littlefield.
Hi, this is Charlotte Littlefield. I just wanted to share my two cents. High-tech election theft is a phenomenon brought on by the Help America Vote Act of 2002. That's right, folks. We've been experiencing high-tech election theft and fraud unimaginable, cheating, stealing, lying, to the point, well, it all accumulated in 2020. The only way out of the mess of our electronic voting system, well, is to throw it out the window. It's time to return to our roots. Hand-counted paper ballots is the way to go. Repeal the Help America Vote Act of 2002. The money that the government was spending on third-party corporations, whose intentions we will never know, but we can suspect, have been stealing and interfering with the integrity of our elections for nearly 20 years. That's two decades. It's time to get smart. Take the money that the government was paying to the corporations, turn it around, have the state's Secretary of State use that money to pay civic civilian counters, hand counters. That's right. Model it off of the audit that was done successfully in Arizona, Maricopa County. They audited over 2 million votes, I think it was, or more than a million. I apologize. I don't have the exact details. But the money that is being wasted paying the criminals to rip us off, that's just plain stupidity. Wake up, America. Demand that your congressional representatives repeal the Help America Vote Act of 2002. As far as I can see, that will shock the system and put all the criminals and bad political actors who are there for money and personal gain on notice. And it will rapidly return accountability for the integrity of our elections back to the people's hands. Thank you.
That's Charlotte Littlefield. She tells it like it is. I mean, you know. And what we have next, she's absolutely right. Paper ballots, hand counted. You can go back into each ballot box and hand count them again to verify the vote is correct and honest and so forth. And you can actually verify who the voters are at the same time. Anyway, we have coming up next is a short interview they did with Sidney Powell, and she says in there about midway through about a criminal cartel that is in operation. And then I'm going to play after this with Sidney Powell, and then I'm going to play just a short interview that Larry Pavlesky had with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny about the Bard Fest. And there might have been something done, an aerosol spray in there, but 35 people plus got sick from that Bard Fest in the St. Louis area is where it was held. But anyway, this is what Sidney Powell had to say about that. So listen carefully about this criminal cartel that she believes, and then I'll play that Tenpenny clip about the possible attack on the Bard Fest. Here we go next.
Yeah, we're hearing about that in the State Department right now with respect to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And how they're opposing, they can't even get anything to change. It doesn't matter. The folks in the State Department, the deep state, are opposing the humanitarian efforts there. It's just craziness.
That's insane. Every one of them needs to be fired.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think was so good under President Trump was how many appellate court judges that he appointed. Is there any hope of this thing turning around, or how embedded is this? How do we deal with this?
Well, I mean, just look at the failure of the Supreme Court to deal with any of these cases that were on their docket before January 6th. We had three cases there on emergency basis. We had filed three cases. We represented electors that are named in the Constitution. There is absolutely no doubt we had standing. If we didn't have standing, then no one ever has any standing to deal with one of these cases. And, it would just be a mockery of the entire system for that to be true. And so we had three cases there on emergency basis. The court ignored them and let them sit until after January 6th, and then dismissed them as moot, even though there's a doctrine called capable of repetition yet evading review, that if you don't deal with it now, it's going to happen again. So there were any number of ways that they could have and should have addressed the issues we raised with 900 pages of affidavits and statistical evidence and mathematical impossibilities that showed fraud, and they didn't touch it. And how many of them were Trump appointees? Three.
Wow. Well, Sidney, I remember when the cases were going on, one of the Trump lawsuits was in I don't recall which district in Pennsylvania, but it went up to the Third Circuit there, and the Third Circuit issued a pretty tough rebuke of the president's lawyers, criticizing the briefing. It was really hard hitting. What happened there? And those were Trump appointee judges in the majority in that circuit. Can you tell us the story of that?
I think what we are dealing with here is pervasive and very, very dark. It's organized. It's well-funded. It's pure evil. They are willing to kill people, a la Kelly Loeffler's aide in Georgia, who was suddenly blown up in his car on the way to a rally for her. He happened to be dating Governor Kemp's daughter. Governor Kemp was considering, I think, at that point, a signature audit. And then the Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent who was investigating that, he was the lead investigator, was suddenly dead within a week. And suddenly we don't hear anything else about any of that. We are talking about trillions of dollars of global wealth at issue here. The leadership and control of the most powerful country on the face of the earth. Known people out there who want to destroy us and have been working to create what I call the apocalypse hoax with the response to COVID and every other problem we've had for the last 4 years at least, doing everything they could to undermine the Trump administration because they want to destroy the middle class. They want to turn us into a totalitarian communist fascist state that they control for their own power and wealth. That is the bottom line. And it is very real. We are seeing it more every day. And that's what we're fighting. And they have far more control over people in government and high places than anybody wants to acknowledge.
Well, Sydney, you saying things like this, has there been threats on your life?
Oh, I get threatened regularly.
And you seem to handle it so well. Do you have personal security, or what do you do?
I keep angels on my shoulders. God Amen. Did not give me a spirit of fear.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate
it. It didn't come in the package. I mean, you know, a number of things came in the package, but that is not one of them.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you standing strong. We need more people like you.
Amen. Well, the 900 pages of material attached to this case, as you refer to that a couple times, where can people get to that? Is that public record?
Yes. They're on my website at sydneypowell.com, and they're on our website, defendingtherepublic.org, which, like your organization, is a C4 nonprofit that we are using to litigate not only the election issues, defending ourselves from the billions of dollars of suits brought by Dominion and Smartmatic and Eric Coomer, but also to fight the COVID vaccine. We've got a number of high-profile cases coming with respect to that, and also to represent January 6th defendants who have been treated worse than Guantanamo terrorists in many ways. There are more than 80 of them that have been kept in solitary confinement in absolute bug-infested holes that no human being should be forced to occupy, and kept there for months. One guy was beaten almost to death. He's blinded in one eye. He was beaten by the guards. We're trying to get emergency medical help for him. We filed that motion Friday night about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. I mean, my little team of six lawyers plus me is working around the clock on all of these issues, and we intend to get to the bottom of it.
Do you have any hope that it's going to actually change things?
It has to. We cannot let this stand. It just simply cannot stand. You cannot have a coup of the greatest country on earth by massive, obvious, documentable fraud. It just cannot be allowed to stand. The Supreme Court is going to have to step up and fix it, or they will have absolutely no further use in the United States of America. We've witnessed a complete institutional failure of every institution in our Constitution that was created to protect the rights of individuals and this country, which was divined by God to be the beacon of freedom on the face of this earth. We cannot let that light be snuffed out. We must not let that light be snuffed out.
Yes, coming up next is the Tenpenny and Pavlovsky. They're discussing what happened there at the Bard Fest, and she injects into their conversation that there were 35 people plus that got sick from there. And actually, she said she was also she's still sick, just getting over it now, and she put that on the table too. So here we go with Tenpenny and Pavlovsky, Larry Pavlovsky. Here we go next.
Is the Five Docs episode? It's the fourth Thursday in September.
Yep.
And we want to remind everybody to be prepared for that. I don't know if Dr. Northrup will make it, but we're going to try and get her on because she missed the last Five Docs. And, somebody said they have not seen Scott Kesterson, or his podcasts have not been on.
Last night was the first one since September the 3rd.
Okay, so he took a break. Good for him. He needed a break, that's for sure.
I think he's doing just one a day now for a while. I heard that he was sick, like everybody else that got sick at Bard's Fest.
Really?
I know at least 35 people. And one person who actually died from being at Bard's Fest.
Really?
Yeah. And I heard that Scott was pretty sick. And he has his last podcast that he posted was September the 3rd. And then last night was the first one, his 9 p.m. podcast. But those are the only one. That's the only one he's done since September the 3rd.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know people got sick at Bard's Fest.
Everybody.
You think it was...
Including me.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, you think it was a plant?
I don't know. I was told that there it was possibility it was something aerosolized that was there. So I don't know. But there were a lot. I probably had, and I'm not kidding, 25 people of vendors and speakers that right after they got home called me and wanted various things, wanted to know what they could do.
Wow. Are you okay?
I'm not 100%. So, but I'm getting there.
She said that she's getting there. And next coming up is Tom Fenton with Judicial Watch. And he's putting on the table this Sussman indictment and prosecution. Finally, Durham came up with. So late, over a year late here. But it is coming forward now, and it does give an opportunity for Fox and other people, One American News, to come out here and put on the table all the players that were connected with the suspects. So here we go with Tom Fenton next.
Hey, everyone. Judicial Watch President Tom Fenton here with our weekly update here on social media. Thanks for joining us this week. A lot to talk about. A big new indictment from John Durham, a positive development for the rule of law. I'll talk about that. Plus new FDA documents that will shock the conscience of any normal person, showing the organ and fetal head trafficking of unborn aborted human beings. Incredible, terrible stuff. Plus Judicial Watch fighting for the full truth about the killing of Ashley Babbitt. Delays, we're battling delays in federal court. Plus, we were in Delaware Supreme Court for Biden records, a big battle there. So I'll talk to you about that as well. First up, though, is something that Judicial Watch is taking the lead on, which is exposing the truth behind the worst government corruption scandal in American history in terms of political criminality. That is the targeting of candidate Trump and then President Trump and people around him. And John Durham, the special counsel who became, he was essentially, just a regular prosecutor looking at this. And just before he left, Attorney General Barr made him a special counsel. He finally indicted someone else. And this someone else is a big deal. It's Michael Sussman, who is a lawyer or had been a lawyer for the law firm of Perkins Coie, who, and that's the firm behind the dossier. And it's also the go-to firm for the Democratic Party. So Sussman was the lawyer for Hillary Clinton's campaign, the lawyer for the Democratic Party, namely the Democratic National Committee. And he had a special meeting shortly before the election in 2016 with the general counsel of the FBI, General Counsel Baker, who in which they discussed targeting Trump. And specifically, he alleged in this meeting and gave him documentation, according to the indictment that was just issued this week by the grand jury, or returned this week by the grand jury at the request of Durham. He was behind the idea that this was Russian bank had communications, improper communications or relationships, or there was some sort of internet communication that raised questions with the Trump organization. And you may recall the media ran with that. Alpha Bank, Russian Bank, and the Trump people have been connected. Well, he was indicted, Sussman was, not for lying about that specifically, but for lying about the reason he was there, because allegedly he told Baker he was there just as a citizen, just conveying information he thought the FBI should pursue. He withheld from Baker, according to the indictment, that he was there on behalf of Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign, Democratic National Committee, et cetera. So he lied about the reason and the purpose of the meeting. And when you lie to the FBI, it's a crime. That's why, you know, don't talk to the FBI unless you have a lawyer present and the lawyer advises you completely of what the your rights are, even then. So he's meeting with this lawyer. First of all, the meeting should, let me be clear here. Let's take a step back. This meeting should never have taken place. You know, Sussman is a DOJ. He had used to work at the Department of Justice, so he knows everybody, and he gets to get into meetings like this to shop garbage like this. And what the indictment, and I encourage you to review the indictment. It's available widely online, and read it yourself. And what's interesting about it is that there's, you know, the one charge really about making a false, making the false statement. But there are two dozen pages describing an illicit conspiracy targeting Donald Trump. They all knew that there was no there when it came to the allegation that the Russian bank had a connection to the Trump organization through these internet connections that they were pretending were happening. They said it was a red herring. In fact, it turned out there was nothing. The FBI figured it out rather quickly, and they knew that going in. And in fact, there's email communications detailed in the indictment showing that they were discussing how to make the document they were going to give the general counsel of the FBI plausible on its face, so that at least initially someone could say, oh, there's something here, even though they all knew that in essence it was a hoax. And the indictment lays out how the Clinton campaign colluded on this, how Fusion GPS colluded on this. It looks like Hillary's other lawyer colluded on this. So the question is this going to be the last gasp of Durham or the beginning of something more by Durham? I don't know the answer to that. It would be a seemingly unusual for me, unusual to me, to have all that material about what looks to be other criminal activity that isn't charged here and just leave it there for no future action. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm going to call it like I see it. If I were Sussman's defense attorney, I would say, look, you know, everyone knew he worked for the DNC. Everyone knows this firm worked for Hillary Clinton. So no lawyer worth his salt would have understood that Sussman was there for anything other than to advance Hillary Clinton's political agenda. So that's what I would be saying to a jury. But, you know, the allegations are what they are, that Baker thought he didn't understand it to be for Hillary Clinton. And so as a result, Durham says, the FBI handled the allegations differently than they might have otherwise handled them. It's, you know, it's obstruction of justice largely. You know, and it makes common sense. If you go to the FBI, and this is the bigger issue, is they had information that they knew or had likely reason to know was not accurate. And they pretended otherwise to the FBI and said they should seriously investigate it without telling them the political angle there. So that's going to be interesting. But as I said earlier, but as I've been saying, that the other issue is the FBI and the Justice Department's culpability here, which is kind of related to this, because the FBI had already been working with Christopher Steele, who was one of the people who was involved in trying to figure out what was going on here in terms of manufacturing this, these allegations against President Trump or then candidate Trump. Judicial Watch uncovered that Christopher Steele was being paid by the FBI at the same time he was being paid by the Clinton campaign. It was a joint operation. And then later, even after they fired Christopher Steele as a source, they still gave him information, and the FBI told Christopher Steele, even though he was a leaker, they knew he was a leaker, and they knew he was an agent of the Clinton campaign, that they were investigating Trump. And of course, that was leaked. The other interesting thing here is, this is, some folks have complained, well, he's a small fish. Sussman is not a small fish. Sussman is a big fish in a small pond of co-conspirators who were targeting Trump, including Hillary Clinton, I would allege. Because when you see the Twitter feed of Hillary Clinton around that time, people have noted, she was pushing this angle on the Alpha Bank that everyone knew was a fraud and everyone around her knew was a fraud. So I don't know what Durham's going to do, but the conclusion one can draw from this is, according to the United States government, of which Durham is the representative, they've been doing this investigation forever and a day. They have found that the effort to tie Trump to Russia included false information knowingly given to the FBI under false pretenses, and it was criminal in nature. It was criminal in nature. As I've said it once, and I'll say it again, President Trump is a crime victim. And this indictment proves it. Is Durham going to do more? I don't know. He should. He should question Hillary Clinton before a grand jury. He should question Joe Biden, dare I say it, before a grand jury. And, of course, the head of the grand conspiracy, Barack Obama.
Here's some Elizabeth McDonald reporting on her edit program on Fox And she's got Dubey, which is, Greg Dubey is a representative out of Florida, a Republican, and, they're reiterating and digging down into this Sussman, indictment also. Very interesting stuff. Here we go with a little bit more fleshing out, than Tom Fenton did, but, you can go to Tom Fenton's website, Judicial Watch, and get his weekly review there and the, listen to the whole thing. But here we go with a short clip. Elizabeth McDonald. Here we go, Nick.
Okay, let's bring in Florida's Greg Stubbe from House Judiciary. Congressman, first, let's deal with this bombshell from the Durham indictment. I'm going to go through it slowly. The indictment says that Hillary's campaign hired big data internet researchers, including a university. These were people working inside the Beltway as well. The indictment says they, quote, worked to locate any connection between Donald Trump and Russia's Alpha Bank, and in doing so, access data of an executive branch office of the U.S. government. They were working as subcontractors initially to help protect against cyber attacks on the government, but they accessed the executive branch. This feels like a cyber Nixon break-in. Let me tell you who's in the, what agencies are in the executive branch. Defense, Energy, Homeland Security, Justice Department, State Department, and the Treasury Department. Your reaction to this story?
Well, first of all, it's not surprising at all that this is going on. I mean, we have our own congressional members trying to get the cell phone information of Republican congressmen and women because of January 6th and using that as a reason to get our cell phone information. So none of this surprises me, but what is really frustrating to me and every American, at least in my district, and I would think most Americans, is this is a fact. The Hillary Clinton campaign used a Russian dossier, the Steele dossier, to then promote the FBI to investigate using 100% campaign information to get a warrant from the FISA court, all based on lies, all based on campaign disinformation, to get a warrant from the FISA court to spy on members of the Trump campaign and all of the people that were involved in that. Nothing has happened to them. We all know that that was false. We know that it was a campaign dossier. We know that they used that dossier, knowing that it was false, to get a warrant from the FISA court to spy on people like Carter Page and other in the Trump campaign to try to get evidence of a lie that they knew to be. Yeah. Keep this monologue going that there was this collusion between Trump and Russia. And after 2.5 years of the Durham investigation, nothing has come of this other than two small indictments for lying to Congress.
Yeah, not sure. We're not sure how the January 6th Capitol riots play in here. But I hear what you're saying. I want to explain this. This was Hillary's big push to get the FBI to investigate Trump, to claiming that Trump businesses were, their computers were talking to Russia's Alpha Bank. The FBI debunked it. It was hotel spam marketing. In other words, a third-party computer server was sending out marketing spam emails about Trump hotels and properties to Alpha Bank. Robert Mueller didn't touch it. We've got to move on to Jake Sullivan. The indictment against Democrat lawyer Michael Sussman, he pleaded guilty, not guilty to lying to the FBI. The Biden's now national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, he was in this web of Democrat insiders as Hillary's foreign policy advisor. He knew about the fake Trump-Russia Alpha Bank story. Sullivan testified to House Intelligence in 2017. He didn't know anything about it. If he didn't know anything about it, why was he running around to CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox News with this Trump Alpha Bank story?
Well, because he knew that if he promulgated this false story, that CNN and MSNBC and these other networks would continue to talk about this Russia collusion hoax that they all knew were lies. All of these people should be accountable for their lies to federal officials, to their lies to the FBI, and to their lies to Congress. But unfortunately, a lot of us Republicans are frustrated because these two individuals are very small people in this entire outfit of people that were using lies to spy on a campaign and using the federal Department of Justice to do it. And those people should be held accountable. The American people want Comey and McCabe and all these individuals who were responsible for this type of behavior to be held accountable, and they're not.
So the indictment also shows that Sullivan was briefed about Hillary's secret project to paint Trump as colluding with Russia via email traffic between Trump computer servers at the Trump Organization and Alpha Bank. Sullivan got emails in September 2016 from Democrat lawyer Mark Elias about the, quote, Russian bank allegations. That was just 4 days before Democrat lawyer Michael Sussman took those Alpha Bank allegations to the FBI General Counsel Jim Baker. So, you know, but then he's later testifying he didn't know about Fusion GPS and the Steele dossier. He didn't know what Mark Elias was doing, despite Mark Elias' significant role in the Hillary campaign. He said they didn't do anything with it. They didn't do anything with it. They put it inside the FBI to go after Trump. You know what I mean? So by the way, will you guys hold hearings on this if you take back control of Congress?
Well, and that's the key, is we have to have the gavels and we have to take the House back in order to do it, because you know the Democrats aren't going to do it. But absolutely, there's going to be a reckoning for a whole host of things when we take the House back in 2022, and all of these people will be investigated to the fullest extent of the law, and referrals will be made to the DOJ. If they in fact lied, which obviously he had knowledge of things that he misrepresented to Congress, they should be held accountable.
Got it. Congressman Greg Stube, it's good to see you. Come back soon.
Up next is OAN, One American News, setting out some real falsehoods and actually canceling out falsehoods and establishing some real truths about vaccines and community type of, protection and immunity that's stronger than any vaccines. But here we go with One American News with really good insights about the vaccines and how dangerous they can be, too.
In a new study involving tens of thousands of patients reveals fully vaccinated people are 27 times more likely to end up with COVID symptoms, than those who have never had a vaccine. Here's One America's Pearson Sharp.
There's a great debate raging in America right now whether or not we need to get the vaccine. And surprisingly, the medical establishment is bucking science that's been settled on for nearly a century now by claiming that vaccines are a better solution to the China virus than your own body's natural defense system. So, what's the truth? We've been in this pandemic for a year and a half now. What do the numbers say? Well, unsurprisingly, the numbers back up what we've known all along, or at least what most of us have known, that our bodies are far better at fighting this virus and many others than the vaccine is. Before we get started, we want to be clear. OAN is not taking an anti-vax position. Vaccines have been proven to be tremendously helpful and have saved countless millions of lives since their inception. The point is, they aren't perfect, and they're not all created equal. Effective vaccines typically take the better part of a decade to get right, not the better part of 6 months, which is why we're seeing the huge number of problems with this vaccine against the China virus in particular. And now, scientists in Israel, a country with more experience with this virus than pretty much anywhere in the world, have found that humans' natural immune protection against COVID is not only much better than expected, it's far and away more powerful than any of the vaccines we're using today. The study involved looking at the medical records of not just a handful of participants, but tens of thousands of Israelis infected with the China virus. It's the largest real-world study ever conducted on the virus, and it found COVID survivors who developed a natural immunity were much less likely to get infected again than patients who were fully vaccinated, not only with the regular coronavirus, but with the new Delta variant as well. Fully vaccinated patients were also far likelier to develop symptoms, become hospitalized, and require serious medical treatment than patients who developed natural immunity. Scientists who reviewed the data say this is a textbook example of how natural immunity is better than vaccination. Better than vaccination. These are actual doctors saying this. Researchers who study immunology for a living, not just media pundits shilling for big pharma. The conclusions of the study can be seen here in the published report. And again, I quote from their paper, "This study demonstrated that natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization caused by the Delta variant compared to the two-dose vaccine-induced immunity." The study then adds that patients who were both previously infected and had a single dose of the vaccine gained additional protection against the Delta variant. Another analysis, this time involving over 2.5 million people, found that those who were never infected and were then fully vaccinated were 6 to 13 times more likely to get infected than unvaccinated people who had developed natural immunity. 6 to 13 times. The study also showed that vaccinated people were 27 times more likely to develop symptomatic COVID and 8 times more likely to end up in the hospital than people who had natural immunity. The bottom line here, which is proven and backed up by exhaustive research from doctors and scientists, is that our own bodies are much better at fighting viruses. They've been doing it for a million years than the leaky vaccines we just cooked up in a few months. Developing a vaccine is a great idea, but there remain serious unresolved concerns about this vaccine in particular, like all of the side effects, including death, listed by the FDA itself. Doctors say we need answers to these kinds of questions before we start making vaccinations mandatory, especially since this is looking less and less like a vaccine, which by definition gives people immunity from a disease, and more like a therapy, which treats symptoms of a disease. We were sold on this vaccine as being able to prevent us from getting sick. But after we found out that vaccinated people are just as likely, if not more likely, to spread the disease, they've moved the goalposts, and now they're insisting that it was never designed to prevent you from getting the virus. Well, that's actually the definition of a vaccine, a medication to confer immunity against a specific disease. So far, this vaccine doesn't stop you from getting the virus. It doesn't prevent you from spreading it. It doesn't keep you out of the hospital. And as we've seen in Israel, a majority of the severe cases are among the fully vaccinated. At best, then, this vaccine just helps mitigate the symptoms of the China virus, which if all you're doing is making the symptoms more bearable, that's really more of a therapeutic. And when we've already got proven therapeutics like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which has been used for decades and is so powerful and safe for humans to use, it actually won a Nobel Prize. What do we need this vaccine for? For One American News, I'm Pearson Sharp.
Really insightful stuff, isn't it? Well, recently President Biden said that that border patrol, and he was pointing this at the mounted police, patrolman there, border patrol, on those horses that are accused of whipping down some of those, illegal aliens. But, anyway, and this was just recently, this week, but a friend of mine called me up and pointed out a further back in time, also threat that was made by President Barack Obama, and that was also addressed to the, Border Patrol and ICE. Agent at the time. So not only Barack Obama has threatened them with decisive action, with threats, you know, you're going to pay, but also recently President Biden has done the same thing. And some allege that President Barack Obama is got a puppet president in the White House, and his name is President Barack Biden. You know what I mean? So many people say, Barack Obama is running the whole darn business down the street there in his mansion, or at Martha's Vineyard, that $12 billion deal where he had the big party at. But anyway, that's very interesting. Now, coming up next, going to go within the program, and we're going to maybe go up to about 19 minutes here. Of programming that Jay Dyer put together yesterday, and he calls upon a source of a whistleblower. He doesn't. It was an occult figure in Australia, okay, a Satanist down there that was talking about everything that they had done in his life experience, joining in Satanism, and how it would manifest in the end. And it's very scary. But Jay Dyer has some very, very good insights and things to say in this area. And this was, he was reiterating a paper that he wrote in 2010, which is 11 years ago, citing this Satanist out of Australia and what they were going to do to the world to convert it over to Satanism and going after all of the different Christian, you know, and they recruited all some of the top leadership in and all that. Very dangerous stuff. But we're going to end the program with that. And so it's going to work out to be about the last 17 minutes or so of the program. But we want to thank everyone. We're going to go straight to our music at that. And I might make a few comments that we're ending the program. But if you don't hear me and you hear the ending music, well, that's the end of the program. But thank you very much for listening. We hope and pray for America that will be saved from this draconian evil dynamic that is underway. Thank you very much. Here we go with Jay Dyer.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today we're going to be talking about a essay that I read back in 2010. And at the time I thought it was too out there. It was just crazy. The idea that there could be a spiritual sort of satanic dimension to this global New World Order that's coming into play. And I remembered it the other day as I was reading through a lot of these global elite texts, and I thought, you know what, that actually needs to be in the roster of the global elite texts precisely because it now has come to fruition. And in fact, this was an essay written by a self-proclaimed high-level Satanist in Australia. And this person wrote this essay at his deathbed, so he says, and he says that I just wanted to give an account of all of the evil that I participated in. And it's not a confession of repentance or something like that. No, he's confessing to the fact that what's coming into play is a satanic plan. And again, at the time, I thought that's just it's just a little too far out there. Nobody's going to believe this. But I thought it was relevant because he was a powerful underground player in Australia. And he claims to be connected to a lot of satanic groups there as well as satanic groups in the U.S., including high-level people in the government, military, entertainment, and so forth. And the fact that he said back in 2010 that the satanic elite had so conquered the Australian and British Anglosphere establishment governments that he said in the next several decades you will see heavy-handed tyranny, brutality, and oppression coming into play. Well, I don't think it's in the realm of theory anymore. I think that he was telling the truth. I think this person was a member of a high-level satanic group. He did have all the connections that he talked about. And the mere fact that he said that the Australian people would see the heavy hand of this satanic power structure coming down upon them proves that he was telling the truth. So let's get into this essay. It's about the confessions of a former high-level Satanist in Australia. And the first thing he says in his essay is that they have essentially corrupted and corralled many high-level politicians, lawyers, military men, gurus in other religions, including high-level Christian groups, right? Powerful elite Christian groups with a lot of money, especially evangelical fundamentalist groups. He says that they've actually bought them off back during that moral majority period. Now, again, I didn't believe that at the time, but I think that now we've seen that a lot of the scandalous ministers that have come out, both in evangelicalism and in the world of Catholicism, both of those realms, right, are rife with false, controlled opposition church leaders. He begins by saying that we employ all the techniques of mind control and abuse that you saw associated with MKUltra. He says that we even at times are linked up with organized crime groups. And he goes back and he says that my origin in all of this goes back to my college days in Australia, where I was invited to a seance and invited to some of these black magic groups. And he says that when I started out, I didn't realize what I was really getting into. And he says that as I moved up in the ranks of this, he says, I realized that we were intentionally involved in degradation rituals. And what he means by that is that they realize the psychological effect of degrading people and putting them through a ritual process to degrade them so that they become in a kind of catatonic Stockholm syndrome situation. So they will actually love their abusers and their captors, and they will beg for right? More abuse, more authority, more tyranny as a kind of conditioned response. And he says that we learned that in the case of the people that we abused, and he actually says that I was involved in a lot of, you know, really extreme pornography groups, bondage type things. He says that basically their groups, the satanic groups, are responsible for the promotion of all the degrading extreme porn everywhere. And he takes pride in that. He says that, yes, we did this on purpose. We did it absolutely to degrade society. And we had help from Western intelligence agencies and very rich, very powerful people. What's again insightful is that a lot of what he says here, it's paralleled in a lot of other cases, right? Savile, Epstein, these kinds of things, right? It's exactly what this person's talking about. So again, those cases that came out, think about the high-level MPs, when we think of Cyril Smith, Ed Heath, right, the stuff that David Icke talked about, those high-level people in the British government, they were exposed as satanic elites a long time ago, and it perfectly is corroborated in what this person claimed 10 years ago. He goes on to say that the abused are a kind of higher level of evolved people. The abusers are more evolved. He says that groups like the Church of Satan aren't real Satanists, and they're kind of fronts for his group, which is an international higher elite connected to billionaires and very powerful people. He says that they found a lot of power when they would compromise very powerful political figures, and they would do this through a sexual operative, sex swallow operations, these kinds of things that intelligence agencies do. He goes on to say that a lot of the police groups, right, not police everywhere, but high-level officials in police groups would be co-opted by them so that they could cover up crimes, cover up serial murder cases that were connected to satanic groups. And in fact, what you see right now when you look at Australia, you see the police attacking and brutalizing the population. And it reminded me just exactly word for word what this guy said in his deathbed essay, that they had co-opted a lot of the police in Australia to do their bidding. He says that the occult groups are intimately linked to the intelligence networks, and that they operate at a global scale, and that they're involved in black markets. And this made me think of organized crime. It made me think of, you've heard Alex talking about Ian Fleming in British intelligence. A lot of people don't know that British intelligence used Satanist Aleister Crowley, one of the most famous Satanists of the 20th century, as an MI5 asset. They hired him to do all kinds of side work for them. So Western intelligence has never had, they've always been connected to these kinds of dark, you know, satanic groups and sects, to use them as part of their compromise, part of their black market networks and operations. He says that one of the things that was that his group was involved in promoting was the dumbing down of the population, the intentional goals being by 2010 and 2030 to institute mass depopulation. And so what's amazing here is that what you hear Gil Bates, oh, we got to get the numbers down, Gil Bates, what you hear Klaus Schwab, and what you hear the satanic elite saying is one and the same. So it doesn't really matter if Bill Gates himself is a Satanist or if Klaus Schwab is. I don't know what their religious beliefs are, because they all have the same end goal, right? They have the same goal of these people, which is to degrade, destroy, and dehumanize society. So a lot of people can't figure out what's going on because they won't look at, or they're deluded and blinded to the reality of a higher level connected spiritual plan that's at work in this global New World Order. They only see it at the level of politics or at the level of Fauci or at the level of this or that, which is true. But if you understand that this is a conscious, willed, evil plan, then it all begins to make sense, right? And it doesn't mean that Bill Gates has to consciously know that he is doing something satanic. He may not. Klaus Schwab may not know or believe in Satan. But they're under the dominion of a higher level satanic power precisely because it lines up exactly with what the Satanists themselves have said for the last 100 years is their plan to massively depopulate as a ritual, right? As a ritual. They even say abortion is a ritual sacrifice. And so this is all part of a plan, and the dates even line up with UN goals of 2030. 2030, mass depopulation by 2030. When we come back, we'll get more into this essay. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were getting into the
Confession of a Satanist, the deathbed essay bragging about the things that they accomplished back in 2010, predicting where things would go in the next decade and up into 2030 with that same coordinated goal of the UN depopulation agenda by 2030, getting the numbers down, right, from he says up to 70% is the goal by 2030 to depopulate the earth by at least 70%. He also says another one of their goals was in the Anglosphere, in the Western world, to poison the water supply, to have enough chemicals in the food and water such that the population would literally drop in their IQ. And he says that if you want to see an example of where we got this philosophy, he said you could look to somebody like Henry Kissinger. Now, he doesn't say that Kissinger was explicitly a Satanist. Again, it doesn't really matter if they're objectively, purposefully doing it for Satan or whether they're just part of the plan. He says that if you look at the terror strategy that Kissinger premiered along with Brzezinski, the strategy of tension, the arc of crisis, he says we just took those old models of how to keep the public in fear, and we turn that to doing it in every domain. So if you look at the way that the CUFID response has been rolled out, it's all based on fear narrative. It's the exact same psychology of the Cold War and the War on Terror, right? And it's this hyped up fake fear of things that at least last year, right, 99.9% of people do not die from COVID. Now, of course, we've got mutating things out there. Who knows what's out there in terms of releases and what they're doing in terms of the spike protein, shedding and so forth. But at least last year, this was a hyped up thing. And now we have, again, this total fear narrative. And so the masking, right, my take on it is that it lines up perfectly with what he's saying in terms of psychology, in terms of social engineering, getting people in a state of perpetual fear to walk around in public and you see everybody masked up. I mean, it's just like something out of a bondage ritual. And I don't mean to be profane, but this person is saying that you can't really understand it until you understand it from that vantage point. It's essentially signifying your slave relationship. You're a slave. And he says, when we look at the people in Australia, this guy's in a high level government connected claimed Satanist. He says that we look at the people of Australia as our slaves, and slaves like to be humiliated. They like to be dominated, he says. He says, so, and you see this in the way that people responded to the War on Terror. Oh, there's some threat somewhere out in the world. Oh, please take all of my rights. Every right I had, please take it, please, right? He says they just submit like total docile sheep. And again, this was 2010, reflecting on 9/11 and the, you know, War on Terror. How much more, right, appropriate is that analysis now in 2020 and 2021? Another example he gives is of the Federal Reserve. He says, just look at the fact that we are part of a satanic system that takes all of your money, prints as much money as we want, and yes, it's all theft. And he says, and nobody understands or cares or has a problem with this. The entire debt-based fiat system is a scam. Everybody knows it's a scam, and they just willingly submit. They don't oppose it. They think that it's there for their security and for their safety. And he says that ultimately this is, he says, a satanic delusion. Now, the amazing thing to me is that there's really only two people in the world that understand that what's happening today is spiritual and that it involves a mass delusion. And who are those? It's people with Christian worldview, biblical worldview, versus people like this with a evil, self-conscious, satanic worldview. Those are really the only two people who, at a high level, typically speaking, can really put all the puzzle pieces together. Because if you don't believe that there's a spiritual realm or a spiritual, you know, dimension to all this, you're really going to be limited in terms of the connections that you can make to figure out what's going on. But this person really ties it all together, again, 11 years, 12 years before all of this COVID nonsense occurred, right? And he says that if you look at the way that captors have abused their subjects in terms of like CIA torture stuff, he says it's all the same approach. He says that his groups, his satanic temple are directly connected to people in British intelligence, to the CIA, to high-level military people. And if you look at the recent death of people like Michael Aquino, right, who's the famous satanic occultist who wrote the Army's PSYOP mind war strategy or doctrine, right, in terms of the modern era, we can see that, again, he's vindicated here, right? And he says it's not just people like Aquino. He says that there's high-level people in entertainment, high-level people who are supermodels, who are involved in his ritual groups. This is literally sounds like Eyes Wide Shut, right? So, I mean, literally Eyes Wide Shut level stuff. And he says in this essay, he says, Michael Aquino was somebody who was involved directly in helping Australia set up the Pine Gap facility and set up the Echelon spying network by which everybody would be surveilled. And he says it went directly to the high-level British elites, went directly up to the Queen. It was a British intelligence operation, ultimately, connected to the CIA. And he says if you want to understand the pop culture world, he says look no further than high fashion. He says high fashion itself is ruled and dominated by a bunch of satanic elites. And remember, this is 2010. What have we seen in the last couple of years with the fashion world? Literally satanic fashion shows in England. Do you remember that? There was churches that are used, so-called churches, Episcopal, which aren't even really, they might as well just be satanic churches, right? Episcopal churches having openly satanic Baphomet inverted pentagram fashion shows in the last couple of years, right? And we've seen this all over the fashion world. He mentions other satanic groups working with his group. And he says, ultimately, our goal was to destroy Christianity. Now, this struck me as odd because if Christianity is a, if it's a lie, right? If it's a deception, if it's this weak, horrible religion, well, then why do you have to work so hard to destroy it? I mean, wouldn't it just implode on its own? To me, that suggests that they kind of know deep down that there's something real about what they're working against. But another fascinating aspect of this essay was where he says that in their viewpoint, what they're doing is a ritual. So all of the things that you see, like the high fashion shows, like the evil, degenerate pop culture, the movies, the degradation that we see in the pop stars when you see Lil Nas X and the stuff. He says these are rituals.
That'll be the conclusion of our program now. And these things are real. What's going on out here in this world today is very satanic and very evil and very occult field, okay? And they've recruited a lot of people over the decades, several decades, into these groups. And some of it came out of the university, and some of it was just more amateur Satanist and amateur, you could say, witches and warlocks and so forth that built themselves in to something and to more serious type of operations and more perfection. And then the net, if you go in there and look at the net, the web, internet, you're going to find them all across the web now, more so and more open than they used to be. And so we're up against a very, very violent, very evil criminal cartel that's operating with occult tendencies, and they are really getting well organized now. And they've always had the money behind them. But right now, it looks like the New World Order is bringing about and transforming the world into a world communist state. And that's basically what we have going right now, is that they're looking for the lower classes to be converted to communism. And then they can control through that very, very strong central government in a very, very efficient way and dominate through a capstone of corporate fascism. I want to thank everyone else out there, everyone that's listening, for your support. Thank you and good night. God bless you.